I want to wish a belated Mazel Tov to David Portell and his entire mishpacha on the birth of a granddaughter. Amen. I meant a couple weeks to get to it, and I just forgot. I apologize. Very special Mazel Tov to you and to Ellie and to the entire mishpacha. May you see much nachas from this new grandchild, this new granddaughter, from your entire mishpacha. Amen. Okay, so we're holding now, everyone, on part two of Anna Zemiris. I'm hoping, I know for myself, that Anna Zemiris now has a little bit of a different feeling when we're in shul, and we are appreciating it. If you're saying it, right? Fair. If for those that are saying it with a little bit more sincerity and feeling and emotion, and not like the way some people say. But I want to just finish up this week, and Mitzvah Shem, next week we're going to be starting a new series. I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about the bracha of Asher Yotzer. Many of us say it many times a day, some more than others, but it's something we all say. And what? Depending on your age. Yeah, that's what people tell me.
Brachas.
Right. So I told someone it's the only bracha you make even on a fast day, even on, you know. And I wanted to spend some time delving into the lumdus behind the bracha and numerous halachic questions. But that will be take us some time. Mr. Shem will do that this, next week. But this week I just want to finish up on the topic of Anna Zemiris. So if you remember, we left off, we're on the beginning of page 3. We're trying to figure out why would you give Anna Zemiris to a child. We left off last week that Anna Zemiris is so special, it's so amazing, it's so important. It's only said sometimes, a few times a year, yet we know in the shuls who do say it, they put a kid up there, put an 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid. It seems to be not perhaps the proper thing to do. So if you take a look at page 3, over here in the Sefer called Kinyan Torah, so he writes, he says, Ukan mokam osi lichtov. I want to write, Amashav isi bekehilois, this is source number 21 on page 3, right corner. He says, that I see in communities, Asher katan mamish, a little kid, Amar Adam Zemiris, lefnei hatzibur b'shabas, achri hatzvilo. Says the Kinyan Torah, "V'loy nira be'enai kal." This does not seem right. Ubefrat shezeh shevach gadol. We just got finished saying how special this is—a praise to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We can only say it a few times a year, and some people only say it very rarely because it's so special. And what are you going to do? Who is the ambassador for the tzibur? A 10-year-old kid, an 8-year-old kid. He says, "Doesn't make any sense." He says, "Ubefrat shezeh shevach gadol me'ay taimo mevor belavush semkuf lama beishloi l'omer b'choyim." And this is why we only say it. We don't say it every day like the Bach used to do. We only say it occasionally because it's so special. Upoischen es aron kodesh l'amiras, and we open aron kodesh. Umevor betaz yoredei v'simreish me'beis v'kodesh gimbal da oilam noigel la'amoid. And because we open Aron Kodesh, that means everyone ends up standing. Because the minig is, we'll get to this a little bit more tonight, Sha'arin Kodesh Basuach V'Uder Kavim. Avshein Chiv B'Dovim, they don't have to technically stand. V'Oimim Moisei Charuz B'Charuz, we say it stanza by stanza. Hashatz V'Hakol Umavur B'Kitzer Shlo, we saw in the Shlo. D'Hakol Yamtinu Al Hashatz. We pointed this out last week. Not every shul so makbid on this. A lot of shuls, it ends up, everyone jumps the gun. It's supposed to be the shat says his line, stop, waits. Then the tzibur says their line. A lot of times, the Baal Tfilah has very little patience where he's already smelling the kiddush. So he starts saying his line while the tzibur is still saying their line. That's technically not correct. You're supposed to wait. Just like a lahavdil in a play or in a song, you don't start saying the other person's line because you want to keep them, the play moving. You got to wait your turn. So he says over here, why would you put up a kid? He says, Ve'ech yale aladas lahamid l'cholzeh. Cotton, Vatsibu Yem Rachav, who's leading the Anna Zemiris? The 8-year-old. The kid was just for the last 2 hours playing outside during groups, not knocking groups or anything, but I'm just saying, the kid was for the last 2 hours outside playing, he comes in all sweaty, you know, disheveled. Okay, go lead the most important part of the davening. It doesn't sound right. So he says, Kosav Gamkin, I'll hold the current cotton la maftir. Same kasha, we know that a cotton technically can be called for maftir. What's takip shot? That we give it to a child. Okay. So he's very bothered. Skip to the last line. He says, Avalamit Kotalam Zemiris, Vaday She'en Kadai Veroyu, She'en Kadai Veroyu Levatal Minigzeh. Says this, can you tell this? Isn't it Rabbi Horowitz? He says, I don't understand. Where did such a practice start? And it should be abolished. Whoever it started, it should be abolished. Now, he seems to be right. That seems to be a very compelling argument. We just got finished saying how special it is, and yet we're going to give it to an 8-year-old. What's the pshat? So if you look in the Rivay Sephraim, Right. So if we take a look in the Rivay's Ephraim, he's not so bothered. He writes, "Vereisi chadushay b'shas and shuvas kinyan tayir ba'alocha chelik alv some kufal manaf." He reads the whole sefer and he quotes him and he says, "Avanirili b'mekayme shikvar hunag." He says, with those communities where it's already become established that the kid reads Adam Zemiris. V'abalabatim leirotzim levat al midik ein lases machloikis b'zevi yamshichu leimer. Said Ephraim, "Don't fight over it. It's not worth it. Let it be." He says, but if you're starting a shul from scratch, and you're making the laws of the shul, the law should not include that the child says on zmiris. Right. He's saying that if it's, meaning it's out there, it's acceptable. But if you're asking me what's preferred, he says preferred is for the kid not to. So he's taking like a little bit more of a power of approach, Rabbi Ephraim Greenlight. He's saying, he's right. He's saying like this. Don't make a fight over it. Don't come into the shul and say, listen, we have to stop this right now. If that's been the shul's minhag, let the shul's minhag stand. But if you're asking me what you should do from the beginning it shouldn't be the minhag. If Shlomo Zalman, in Shlomo Zalman Orbach number 23, he writes, Shlomo Zalman didn't think it was such a big deal. He thought it was okay. Shlomo Zalman didn't think it was the end of the world. So, Shlomo Zalman felt it's not such a big deal if the kid says Adam Zemir.
Why should the age matter? I think it's
No, because this is a choshev tefillah that you're saying on behalf of the tzibur. Oh, very exactly. That's the answer. We'll see in a few minutes. Not only is it okay to put up a katan, there might have to be a preference over katan because, like Jake points out, they're pure. They don't have sin. So there's actually that's the perk.
That's say it by kol nidre.
Right. I mean, so anytime they're being moitzi you on something, there's rules on the books. The rules on the books are katan can't be moitzi gadol. But anytime you're not being moitzi anyone, so then we apply this svara. So you have to go throughout the seder at tefillah and find where you have places where there is no idea of being moitzi someone and say, oh, let's put up a child. That's exactly the counter argument.
I had not quite the same similar got by shot this morning in the Shkambin anyway. I would find occasionally when somebody did hakuf, for whatever reason, he'd want to hold the safer, and he would give it to like a
So that's a different problem. Right. So that's a different problem. We're not really supposed to give away the safer Torah. That's a different problem I have. I don't like when people do that. That's a bizarre for the Torah, to give away the Torah. I must apologize. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Lidishmas Fega Raizel Bas Menachem Monish. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. This guy has a valid reason.
Right. So if a guy has a valid reason, right, you shouldn't give it to a cousin. It's better not to give it to a cousin. Again, there's a whole shayla about giving a cotton hakafis on Simchas Torah. Right? There are questions. So there's a whole shayla, why do we give a cotton galila? Galila, the Gemara says, why are you giving that away to a kid? So there is definitely an element where we want to get children involved in the davening. That's not debatable. We all agree. But in Echram, we have to figure out where is it a point where we say this is just not makavadik to give to a cotton. Psicha. You know, psicha is a chosh v'kibud. Psukah de Zimra, because you're not being mitzi anyone anything in Psukah de Zimra. Right? Psukah de Zimra is really... Psukah de Zimra, you're not really being mitzi anyone anything. That's why I always tell people that are chiyuvim for davening. I've seen people that are chiyuvim for davening, they take Psukah de Zimra. I don't have the heart to tell the guy, you didn't do anything for the neshama. Psukah de Zimra is the same thing as davening from your seat. You're davening from the chair, you're davening from the yamid. You weren't mitzi anyone anything. Right, but you're not really accomplishing anything. Right, you're not being mitzi anyone. So Al-Kopanim, Reb Shlomo Zalman at least is more open-minded about it. He thinks it's okay. Now, if you take a look over here, number 24, he writes over here in the Sefer Ishe Yisrael, great Sefer, he says, V'aminug liftoichas arin kodesh b'asam yirasoi, v'yesh mikoymes shenoy gim litein lakot, and some people give it to a child. And he writes in the footnote, kosov li agoyin b'chaim kenevsky, she'ef shalasoi kain. Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky also thought it's okay to give to a child. So you have Shlomo Zalman, Chaim Kanevsky, Ephraim Greenblatt. You had definitely big names and big people who thought it's not the end of the world to give a katan anim zemiris. But look at this next shayla, number 25. This is a doozy of a shayla. This is a great shayla. Mishpachas bas arba nefashis. There was a family of four people. Higienu lekiloseinu midarom Africa. They came to our community in Darom Africa. Darom Africa is? South Africa, large Jewish community. A family came. Ha'av Yehudi, the father's Jewish. Ha'em, the mother, Avra Giyur Reformery, she had a Reform Geiris. Lefnei Ka'arboim V'chameshan, 45 years ago she had a Reform Geiris. Now we, for the most part, don't value a Reform Geiris. Rav Moshe completely was negated a Reform Geiris, even if the Rabbanim themselves might have been religious. Apparently, this was a machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rabbi Soloveitchik. If you have a Reform Bezdin, or a Reform Rabbi, but the Rabbi himself is from, as we know, there were many Rabbanim that were in Reform Kehilas who themselves were personally from Shaim Etayru Mitzvahs, but they had to make a parnasa and they worked in Reform Shuls. So apparently, Rabbi Soloveitchik held, this is what I heard on a shir, that if the Rabbanim involved, even though they worked for a Reform Shul, but if they themselves were answer from Yidden, that could be a valid geiris. Rav Moshe held no. Reform, everything's treif. Even if the Rabbanim involved were taka from people, but the geirus is treif. So let's just assume for here, we're not accepting a geirus from a reform geirus. So what happens? Our kehila does not acknowledge a reform geirus. So we're putting them on the path to become geir. The zuk sheni, the second couple, yiladim lefnei gil bar mitzvah. So they have children that are before bar mitzvah. Lezuk to the couple, they have two children. Right, again, always where you make the emphasis. Lezuk to the couple, they have two children that are under the age of bar mitzvah. Shneim loim de beis ha-sefer yehudi b'makom. They both go to the local Jewish school here. Gam b'drom Africa loim de heilad de beis sefer yehudi. Okay, here in South Africa we also have Jewish schools. So they're both the two kids under the age of bar and bas mitzvah. They are in the Jewish school. Ani malamed bebeis haknesses as kol ayuladim bebeis haSefer as kol ayuladim begilzel lishir anim zemiris. My job is to teach all the little kids how to sing anim zemiris. Hey malpi rishima sarim moisa bebeis haknesses. There's a rotation, and each kid gets the chance to sing anim zemiris. Kach ani moider gamis ahorim lagil tefillin. I teach the parents how to daven for the yomim. I guess they call this the chazan, right? This is the chazan's job. He teaches the parents to daven, the kids to daven. Ha'im yesh makom lachnis gam yuladim el lishima. So this was the shaila. Should I teach these two kids? They're not Jewish. These two kids are not Jewish. Now they're in the process. They're going to now get a rotation to go up and sing Anim Zemiris. Should I have them in the rotation for Anim Zemiris? That's the shayla. So what I would have answered personally, again, it's a tough question because there's emotions and feelings over here. I would say, listen, Anim Zemiris is a very special song. These two kids are not Jewish. Do we want them leading the Anim Zemiris? Again, it doesn't sound very nice, but that's what I feel, no?
On the other hand, you get embarrassed.
On the other hand, there's embarrassment and there's other things. So the show, the response was, no. Bishir Anim Zemiris Ukedoyim Eimo Mishum Chiv Mitzvah Shematrich Lohi Tzecheh Midei Chavosot. You're not being mighty in on anything. Rak Shira V'Shevach L'Hashem Yisbarach Al Kein Eim Meniya She'odem HaMetzui B'Tehilach Kiyur. He thought that's not enough of a reason to someone who's, again, obviously if there would be full-blown goyim, he would have let them sing Anim Zemiris. But since they're on the path, they're on the road to Geirus, he thought it was okay for them to sing Anim Zemiris. Okay. But now back to the question, what's the mile of putting a katan up for Anim Zemiris? So that's what it says over in number 27, Reb Druk, in the Sefer number 26, he says, V'yesh mikoymeis shemip asa kedush hamyuchedesh al-shir, because it's so special, nogu lechabed ba'amiris hashir yeladim sheterim migil mitzvahs. We bedavka pick children before they get to mitzvahs. Sheyetzira amukazu sheyesh ba ganuvin lekirvas hashchina toymai de'elu sheadayin loichotu. Yeah.
Why are we assuming that you're not being motzi? The kahal is only doing every other
song. Right, right. He means you're not being
motzi with.
Right, right. He means like as opposed to like a bracha or like a baruchu or something like that. Right. I mean, motzi usually means like something in the davening where a person says kaddish and the tzibur answers, I'm motzi the tzibur or something. Again, obviously you're right. You can't do this without a tzibur, but it's not like something that would be ma'akiv in the davening experience.
Well, I'm saying something a little different. I'm saying that.
You're saying that.
Without the chazan, you're doing a mishmash of stuff that's every other
sin. That's correct, but he's saying from a halachic standpoint, you know, a katan, right, a katan can't be moitzi a gadol. A katan can't say baruchu. Oh, we're going to get to that today also, Mr. Shem. We'll talk about that. It's a great question. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. So this is the counter-argument. So this is, for those who do have children saying Anim Zemiris in their shul, this is something you should remember. That children are very special, and they're very pure. They don't have sin. They're not tainted like us adults that are full of avarice and full of agendas and full of all. Little kids are happy. They you know, they're easy, simple, relatively, right? They don't have avarice. They're under bar mitzvah, so they're not held accountable for anything they do. No, but they're pure. They don't have any averus. We, if I don't like another person, I'm held accountable for Veloy Sisna. A little kid doesn't like their friend on the block. Okay, Hashem doesn't hold it against him until he turns 13. So if you take a look over in the Sefer Tefillah Kilchasai, he writes, B'siyum ha-tefillah nogu loy ma-shir ha-kovid. We say shir ha-kovid. U'minag liftoyach aron kodesh v'la'amoyd be'es ha-mirosoy. V'yesh noygu lomar lifnei ha-tefillah. Some people talk about Anim Zemiris before davening. We spoke about this last week, that it might be better to say before you start davening, because once you start davening, then you're limited to how much praise you can give to Hashem. But before you daven, it's somewhat more free of what you could say praise to Hashem. Interesting, if you take a look over here, number 28, this is from the Minhagim, from the Sanzer Rebbe, the great Divrei Chaim, the great Sanzer Rav. Now the Sanzer Rav, Divrei Chaim had, I think, about 17 children, if I'm not mistaken, from three or four wives. And most of the Hasidic groups, at least the big groups that we know of today, come from sons, such as Babov, sons. Right? We all know sons, right? All those big Hasidic groups come from the sons of Rebbe, Reb Halberstam. So he writes like this: Rabbeinu, the sons of Rebbe, how you know if he didn't daven for the Amid, Then there was no Adam Zemiris recited in the shul. Why? Because in the Beis Medrash, if the Rebbe didn't lead the davening, whoever they put up for davening would say it too fast. It wasn't set up, structured, that it could be recited properly. But when he davened himself for the Amid, he was able to control the pace of the Anam Zemiris. So it seems like that unless the Sanz Rebbe davened every week, they didn't say Anam Zemiris every single week. Now if you take a look, what? It seemed like everyone, whoever davened for the Amid, didn't say Anam Zemiris properly. Now take a look at number 29, Divrei Yechezkel.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't want to do that. I don't know. So if you take a look over the Divrei Yechezkel, the Divrei Yechezkel was Rabbi Yechezkel Shineva. Rabbi Yechezkel Shineva was the Sanze Rebbe's son. So what does he write over here? Number 29. Shira Kovet Am Zemiris Hayim Zame B'Shineva B'Chol Shabbos Kodesh Achat Tfilas Musav Kakosov Am Zemiris. So in Shineva they said Am Zemiris every week. In Sanz, by the father, they didn't say it every week. Okay. This is an example of where father and son differ. I just recently came across another machloikas between the Sanz Rebbe and his son, which is an interesting shayla. Let's say a person has yahrzeit on Friday or Shabbos. What's with that Kaddish at Mizmor Shir? Every once in a while you get these types of shaylas. Who's that Kaddish is for Friday or that Kaddish is for Shabbos? That Kaddish by Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. So Pashtus, you'd say, well, it's already Shabbos. We just were Mekabel Shabbos. So that Kaddish should go towards Shabbos. Some held no, that Kaddish still goes back to Friday. So if a person has Yartzen on Friday or Shabbos, he has to figure out. So I saw that the machlokes between the Shinova and his father, the Divrei Chaim. Is that Kaddish for Friday or that Kaddish is for Shabbos? Okay. So I'll take a look.
They stay up there till after.
No. Question is, if you want to say the Kaddish, who gets that? Is that Kaddish Yosem for someone who has Yartzen that day or not?
Don't they say it anymore?
It could say again. There's no doubt. I always tell people, anyway, if not, it's a Shlecht. It's not the end of the world either way. Okay. Yeah, it's not the end of the world. So take a look at this. This I found fascinating. The Choyk Li Yisrael, he writes like this. He says, "Omeyata kivan de b'Shabbos." He was talking about Shabbos, erev Shabbos Shacholius erev Pesach. The Olam remembers Shabbos Shacholius erev Pesach is one of the very busy Shabbos because you got to speed up the davening to get home in order to eat the meal. So he writes, "This is by Yisrael Volz." Yisrael Volz was a rav in Hungary before the war. And he writes, "Umeyata kiven de b'Shabbos zeh memharim l'spalel." He says, "On Shabbos erev Pesach, everyone's in a rush to daven. Toiv shlo yoyimah shirakovet am zmiris." He thinks he should skip am zmiris that week. "Ach after b'shav Shabbos is aminam shirakovet." So I wanted to tie in maybe Shabbos Chanukah also. Right, one of those Shabbos where everyone's like ready, like on the, because Shabbos Chanukah is a very long davening, and it's a very short day because the winter, right? So I think I always felt that based on this Rabbi Saul Volz, I brought this up in my shul. I did not get an agreement on this one. I thought that we should also skip Adam Zemiris. Adam Zemiris on Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. The Olam is already climbing the walls. They're looking at the clock. They're starving. They're hungry. They know. They look at the clock. They know in 2 hours they got to be back here for Mincha. So I would think maybe you should talk. Meaning what you see from here and what we saw from the Vilna Gaon is that it's not the end of the world if on a week or two or three you skip Adam Zemiris if you feel that there's needed. And if you look around the shul and you see that the Olam is already restless, it was a long davening. The rabbi speech was too long. The Kiddush is already almost set up, and you see, it's just not going. It might not be the worst thing to skip it. I know it sounds very controversial, but it might be, strictly speaking, not the end of the world if someone wanted to skip Anim Zemiris. Now, if you take a look over here, we'll get to that. Oh, well, it seems like the only other option is before Shachris. It doesn't seem like there was an option to say then. But if you take a look at something I found fascinating over here, in the Siddur from Reb Shapsi brings down over here that some people were deliberately against the recitation of Anam Zemiris because of who wrote it. There is a thought out there that it might have been written by a controversial figure, even though we pointed out it was written by Rishonim, it was written by Rabbi Yehuda Chatzir, or perhaps his father, but he mentions that there was perhaps some question about it. Interestingly, Svardim never adapted the minhag to say Anam Zemiris. This was obviously, Anam Zemiris was written by a Hasidei Ashkenaz, a very German Jew, Ashkenaz, and the Svarim just never adapted to it. It was just never in their vernacular. Similarly to, let's say, for example, Shavuos is coming up, so I'll throw this out, Akdomus. We say Akdomus. Akdomus was also written by an Ashkenazi Jew, who was before the times of Rashi, that century, in the 11th century. Svarim don't say it because they don't necessarily say piyutim and tefillas that are written by Ashkenazim, which are not recorded in Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, this is another example of a beautiful tefila, which the Svarim just don't say, not b'shita necessarily, they just never made it into their vernacular. What I found interesting is number 32. Number 32 is a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, he says that what about if you say, what he's talking about over here is saying Shir HaYichud on Tisha B'Av. Now who says Shir HaYichud on Tisha B'Av? Mishnah Berurah writes that you're allowed to say Shir HaYichud on Mincha on Tisha B'Av, even though you're not allowed to learn Torah. Now I wonder who exactly says Shir HaYichud on Tisha B'Av. You can only find people saying it on Yom Kippur. But it, to me, it's an interesting Mishnah Berurah. Now let's move on to the real Shaila. Can you say Anim Zemir is B'Yechidus? So, Nebuch, we had Corona, so we were locked down, we were all down in Bechidus. So, is a person allowed to say Aram Zemir is Bechidus? Now, this is not just a Corona Shail. Sometimes you have a person who misses davening for whatever reason, he's sick, he's not well, he's on vacation, whatever the case may be, Amol, it happens that you're Bechidus. Do you, can you say Aram Zemir? So, if you take a look over here, number 33, in the Sefer Shevet HaKasi, and by Dying Gross, so he writes the following, She'ela, Im Kishim Espal B'Yachid Im Oymer Shir HaYichud, Aram Zemir. Now it's very tricky because we keep on saying Shir HaKovid, Shir HaYichud, Shir HaKovid. We're kind of using them slightly interchangeable over here, right? We started off with, you know, originally we were exposed to it as Shir HaYichud, Shir HaKovid. So the question is, can you say Anim Zemiris B'Yechidus? And he says, Nira, De'ein L'Yochid Lo'imar. No, you can't say Anim Zemiris by yourself. You know why, he says? Kimash Enitakin De'Keta Echad Oymar Achazim V'Keta Echad Oymar Kol. Because as we pointed out, the way this tefillah was structured, it was supposed to be recited in tzibur chazan, tzibur chazan. Well, if you don't have a tzibur, this doesn't work. So he says, v'hainu sheket ma'asha kal oimer shayech l'ma'asha oimer chazan, v'al kein b'yichidus ein shayech l'oimer ki ein sham chazan. Well, you can't say that if there's no chazan. You have to have the give and take, and therefore you cannot say it. But Ram, he says, das hagro b'sefer shar rachamim da kahal v'hashatz ein medalik shum pasuk. Well, if he's a yochid shape yochlam, right? I don't understand why, but he thinks maybe then you would be allowed to say it. And then he says, no, umatzasi b'kitzur ashla. He says the shla which we saw before. The shla goes on to explain how integral it is that everyone says their line when they're supposed to, and no one takes up someone else's line. And therefore, he comes out at the end of the piece on page 4. Ha'oyla lahalocha kishemispalo biyochid ein loimer anim zemiris. Therefore, he rules that when you daven by yourself, you should not recite Anim Zemiris. Anim Zemiris is totally b'tzibur. You need a chazit, you need a shliach tzibur, you need a shatz, and therefore you cannot say Anim Zemiris b'yichidus. If you take a look over in number 34 in the Sefer HaYichud of Al Chosov, he writes, V'chein heishiv li'agoyin marach Chaim Kanevsky shlita. V'maneh l'shel asi in nita loyme b'yochid. Rav Chaim Kanevsky responded to my question, can you say Anim Zemiris by yourself? V'kosev b'zeh haloshon kimedume she'in ro. Chaim Kanevsky thinks it's not proper to say Anim Zemiris by yourself. Reb Chaim Kanevsky also felt Anim Zemiris should only be said b'tzibur. Interestingly, Rabbi, if you remember back to the days of COVID, so Rav Shechter put out what was called the Piske Corona. They're still out there on YU's website. You can get them still. You get them, Google them. I used them a couple days ago. So in Piske Corona, Rav Shechter writes that you cannot say Anim Zemiris. B'yochid, you can only say Anim Zemiris b'tzibur. Why? So he said, because Rabbi Soloveitchik had a chiddush. Rabbi Soloveitchik held that Anim Zemiris has a din of like a davish b'kedusha. Not so much like we've been saying that the reason why you can't say it b'yochid is because you don't have the give and take of the chazin and the kehillah. It's mamish has a din of a davish b'kedusha. Davish b'kedusha you can only say when you have 10 men. That's a fact. Now, how do you make Anim Zemiris into a davish b'kedusha? So if you look in Nefesh HaRav, so Rav Shechter quotes for Rabbi Soloveitchik, he says, V'anira loyma b'zeh. We pointed out that one of the unique things about Anim Zemiris is that we stand for Anim Zemiris. Why? Because we open there on Kaddish and we stand. So he says, don't think that the reason why we stand is just because he's talking about why when you open up the Aron Kaddish, there's sometimes when we open up the Aron Kaddish we stand. What's that about? So Pashtus is it's covered for the Sefer Torah. Even though al pi ikar halacha, you only have to stand when the Sefer Torah is moving. The Sefer Torah is in its place, you don't have to stand. So why do we stand when we open the Aron Kodesh? So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, Elo mitam kishepoyschin ha'aron oimim piyutim kira'am zemiris lekel arichdin shedinam kedovish shebekdusha. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt those certain piyutim that we say when the Aron Kodesh is open, they become like a dovish shebekdusha. It's like a dovish shebekdusha. And that's why you stand. We know the rule of thumb is every davar shebekdusha you stand. Kaddish, kedusha, baruch hu. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that these tefillahs that we open Yaron Kodesh for is not just we stand because we're open Yaron Kodesh. We stand because they're deemed the davar shebekdusha. So he writes, The rule of thumb is that anytime you're saying a praise to Hashem, not like a regular bracha or a regular pasuk, this unique form of praising Hashem, it becomes a davar shebikdusha. Okay, so obviously says Rav Shechter, according to this, you can't say bichidus. It's not a davar. You're not allowed to say davar shebikdusha bichidus. You need to have a tzibu. You need to have a minyan. So according to this, you would not be allowed to say anam zemiris bichidus. It's interesting if Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where it seems like he disagreed with this chiddush of Rabbi Soloveitchik. He thought that standing is not an indication of anything more than just merely respect for the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought standing when the Aron is open is something more than that. It's a giveaway that there's something bigger happening here. What bigger is happening here? It's a davar shebikdusha. Rav Moshe in the tshuva doesn't seem to assume that way. Rav Moshe assumes it's merely a minhag. Just a minhag to stand whenever the Aron Kodesh is open. I usually point this out before Yom Kippur. We know that the whole Ne'ilah, the Aron Kodesh is open, so the minhag is to stand. But you have some people that are taka not good fasters and they're very weak, so they're going to push themselves to stand. It might not be such a good idea. It might not be the worthwhile investment because you're going to burn yourself out. Okay, usually by Ne'ilah you can make it. But let's say earlier parts throughout Musaf. So a lot of the Musaf, sometimes people push themselves to stand. Might not be worth it. If the whole thing is only a minhag, it's not, if it's going to do harm, it's not kedai. So you have to know, you know, when you have to stand and when you don't have to stand. But according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's much harder. Because sometimes the standing is als davar shebikdusha. It's interesting, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter quotes a yisoid. You know, when do you have to put the talus over your head? I have this issue. I don't know. I'm not so comfortable with the talus over my head. I can't be mechavim properly. The Bach writes in Hilchos Tzitzis that one of the reasons why we're ma'atif b'talus is to be mechavim better. I find it backwards. I find that when I put the talus over my head, it makes me, I don't know. It's an OCD. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what they call it today. It's probably a title for it or something. But I have a hard time. So when do you put your talus over your head? So the Chayyim, so Rav Shechter writes, whenever there's a davar shebikdusha, you need to cover your head. That's what he writes. That's what he says. I heard this from him quite a few times in different shurim. He says, whatever davar shebikdusha, you have to cover your head. So lefizeh, you have to put on the talus for Am Zemiris. Because according to this, Am Zemiris is davar shebikdusha. What? Baruch Hu. Kedusha. Kaddish, right?
So then even the Kaddish can involve Tzion, you have to put
your head. Yeah, if it's, your whole is really... So I got to push myself to put... People do it. The question is if you have to do it. I know people wear the towels over there all the time. Very good. Again, if the Bach writes, if you'll be mechavin better, you should do it. I personally worked backwards for me. I have an issue with it. So I try. The whole Chazor HaShatz, you can argue maybe it's a davar shebikdusha. You need a minyan for it. Halal not necessarily. Well, halal is tricky. Halal is complicated whether or not you really need a minyan for halal. Kriyas HaTorah might be a davar shebikdusha. Not everything, again, you need a minyan for it. You know, again, it gets a little blurred, the lines over there. So I try to stay away from it. The only other time I cover, I got to also cover my head for Aleinu. Because all my years in yeshiva, I always saw by my Rebbe, he was always makbid to cover his head for Aleinu. Aleinu, we spoke a little bit last week, happens to be a very special tefillah Aleinu. So I try to cover my head for Aleinu also. But I try to keep this rule of davar shebikdusha. So according to this, you have to put on the talus for Aram Zemiris also. Okay, I don't know that you don't see too many people makbid. A lot of shuls, a lot of by the chassidim, they have a minhag that towards the end of Musaf they put on their strimals. They put on hats or strimals. There's a reason for it. I forgot already the cheshbon. There's a cheshbon why they do it. I forgot the reason. There's a halachic reason. I forgot already what the reason. It's not just there's a real reason why they do it. It's not a real minhag. It's not there's a cheshbon. I forgot already. No, tefillin is a different cheshbon. You know, the tefillin is a different thing. A person should keep his tefillin on until the end of davening. Tefillin has nothing to do with davar shebikdusha. So says Rav Moshe like this. Akoponim, number 36. Amido kisharan kodesh pasuach noigim lamit. So after Rav Moshe, it's only a minhag. This minhag dates back to the 1600s, the time of the Taz and the Ramah. This is not the Taz didn't make this up in the 17th century to stand up when the Aron Kodesh is open. This was already before the time. Might not be an obligation. Might not even be a minhag. It's not an obligation. It's not a minhag. It's a nice thing to do. It's effective, Moshe. If everyone's doing it and it's such a nice thing, so why doesn't it become a minhag? He says, "Keep in the ikar kopanim inyan kavod." It's not like a crazy thing. It makes sense to stand up when the Sefer Torah, when the Aron is open, shows an unbelievable kedushas hashivas haTorah. So why is that not a minhag? So Moshe says, "Keep in shein hechrich sheelu shenogun hoyizel kavonas chiyah." Interesting svar. Moshe says those Jews who started standing for the open Aron, what was their motivation? Says Moshe, they didn't do it as a chiyah. Ela shahayizeh b'shvila ava v'chivivis ha-teirish ha-salayim. So stick a Musa Shmuz over here. Says Rav Moshe, the original Jews, hundreds of years ago, who started standing, they didn't think to themselves, oh, there's da achiyiv. They just were so taken by their love of Torah, it was self-imposed. So Musa Shmuz over here, says Rav Moshe. They just did it because they felt it. Loy l'kavonas chiyiv hu misalik inyan ha-chivivis. Da ha-misalik inyan ha-chivivis. V'doris achreinim ha-oysin al-daz ha-vizayim. We just follow what our parents, meaning the first generation who did it was self-inspired. And the next generation did it because their fathers did it. And the third generation did it because their fathers did it. So as Dr. Moshe, it didn't exactly play out as a chiyiv or a minig. It kind of just played out by natural his-iris. Therefore, Dr. Moshe, it's only a minig. So clearly, Rav Moshe wasn't assuming like Rabbi Soloveitchik that had the din of Sadovish and Megdusha. He thought the whole thing is merely a minig. Okay. So if you take a look over here, number 37, the same Sefer, he quotes from the Leket Yosher. The Leket Yosher records the Minhagim from the Trumas Hadeshen, and he writes, the Koidim Shiyat Mebeis HaKnesses Bechoyel, when the Trumas Hadeshen would leave davening at the weekday, Oymer Choykoi Sheyo Yichud, he used to say Sheyo Yichud. Umashma, the Nita Lomer B'yochin. So you see, he was leaving davening, it sounded like everyone else left, and he was saying Sheyo Yichud. So you see, you could say B'yichidis. So he writes, no, achvadai de lahovi haminug migdoilim. Don't bring me rice from the Trumas Hadeshen. It was a great godel. Shavadai kivnu viyodul heichen advar magim. He knew how to do it, even biyachidus. Okay. So that's a question whether or not we have a raya to, whether or not we can bring proofs from the Trumas Hadeshen. It's interesting. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number 38, Mishnah Berurah writes, very practical shayla. What happens if you have a minion? We had a whole shir about this once. What happens if the minion, breaks up in the middle? It happens a lot. If you have a minion mitzumtzum, so sometimes a minion leaves. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for not such good reasons. Amol, you have a minion of 10 people, and one of the 10 people is atzala guy. He gets a call, that's it. Your minion just falls apart. So you have to know, what are you allowed to finish? What are you not allowed to finish? What could you do? So Mishnah Berurah writes over there that the Kaddish, that after Aleinu, Avala Kaddish Acher Aleinu Lo Yema Bezeh. Right, let's say, for example, you started Ma'ariv, and you had a minion for Ma'ariv, and then by the time you look around for the last Kaddish, the place is empty. This has happened in my shul too many times. Okay, too many times that I know this halacha well. Right, so a lot of times people you turn around. Now you only left with nine, and you want to get that last kaddish in. So Mr. Bruce says no. Avlo kaddish achar leinu lo yoyim abezet. You're not allowed to say if you only have nine. Va'afilum hischoloyim aleinu ba'asar v'yosem mitzvah. Even let's say you started aleinu with ten. We're not talking about a case where you started shemoneh esrei with ten. And then someone left. You got everything. You were good. You were good till aleinu. In the middle of aleinu, number 10 leaves. And now you finish aleinu, says the Mishnah Berurah, lo yeim ra kaddish. Why? De ene el a minig. It's only a minig. Umikol shekein the shir ha-yichud, oy le kaddish oymen. Same thing with shir ha-yichud. That, let's say, for example, after shir ha-yichud, that kaddish.
That's not even
doesn't matter what the kaddish is. At the end of the day, you need a minion for the kaddish, and you can't say the kaddish if you don't have a full minion at the end of the time.
Isn't that a less important one?
No, kaddish doesn't matter. Every kaddish needs to have a minion. No, but the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah writes, you're always supposed to say a Kaddish Yasim at the end of davening. That's what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. People are not samachban on this. Huh? Why is it not possible? Okay, it's not always. No, you don't have to have Yasim. Anyone who lost a parent. Nebuch, there's a lot of people who lost parents. Anyone who ever was a Yasim can say a Kaddish Yasim. Sorry? Right, if you have a minion of young people, then you don't. Right? And the minig is not to. But if you have, a lot of people don't know this. It bothers me. You go to shuls, people don't know. It's a Ramon Shulchan Aruch. Ramon writes that at the end of davening, after a lady is supposed to say Kaddish. Even if there's no one who's actively a Yosem. Someone was a Yosem.
Like, it's not like possible.
Can. If you have only young people, you can't do it.
There's some counter pressure, though, if you have one parent still alive.
So there's a machloikis in the Paiskim, the Ramah discusses a Shaila. Let's say a person has both parents alive, and the parents are Meichel. This happens a lot. Some people say they have a grandparent as a yartzeit, and their parents both say, do me a favor, say Kaddish for my mother or father, and both parents are alive. So some Paiskim say, well, if the parents are Meichel, it's okay. We generally don't do that. We assume that it's a Ma'arisayin. We're afraid that people are going to say, not always the parents are available, whatever the case may be. So we don't do that. But we don't do that. But if one of the persons already a Yosem, if he already lost a parent, then the minig is he could say Kaddish. Now take a look over number 39 from the Yakut Yosef. We don't do that. We're too makbe for Ayin Hara. We're too worried about Ayin Hara, which is the shit we got to get to also in a few weeks. We'll talk about Ayin Hara, how real that is. But
if somebody only has one parent, then it's okay to say
Yeah. As long as you already lost a parent. So if you look in the Yakut Yosef, he writes, Hasvardim loy nogu loy mes shira kovid b'shabbos. Svardim don't say it. Ube mekoy mes shenogu loy, but if you're in a place that does say it, nochon yoyse loy melefnei alein l'shabech. He thinks you should say it before Leinu, which not Not too many people.
Svaradim hold that Aleinu ends.
That's right. Because Svaradim hold Aleinu is the end of everything. That's exactly correct. Kadesh HaKal Yita Oizen Keshavas Lamiros.
Does he mean both Minhag and Nusach Svarad?
No, he means Svaradim over here means Eidim. Right, means the Svaradim. Eidim as well. No. Most of them do say it. Most of them, he means the real Svaradim. Meaning, like I mentioned earlier, Svaradim never adapted this beautiful tefillah that was written by an Ashkenazi. Just, they never crossed their lines. He points out over here, number 40, in the Sefer Tikkun Tefillah from Rabbi Blitzky in Eretz Yisrael. He says, "Shebe Eretz Yisrael einayim shir kavod b'chol Shabbos." In Eretz Yisrael, they don't say shir kavod every week. Why? That's because of the impact of the Vilna Goin. Ukaagro b'maisa Rav. Only in Yom Tov, some people say it, as we saw, that was the Vilna Goin. The Vilna Goin pointed out that only some, you only say it on Yom Tov. Then he points out, even if you do say it, you should definitely say it with a slowness and proper kavana. If you take a look at number 41, this is interesting. I had this issue in my shul, that if ever there'd be a day to say Adam Zemiris, it would be Yom Tov. We saw that from the Vilna Goin, he only said it on Yom Tov. But a lot of shuls only say it on Shabbos, not Yom Tov. So this I already saw from the Minhage Chag HaShuas. This is from Munkach. He says, "Ein oimim shira kovid b'yom tiv shechol b'moisachol." They do not say Adam Zemiris and Yom Tov that falls out during the week. Not sure why. If ever it would be a nice day, it would be Yom Tov, like we saw. Yom Tov is one of those days where you're not rushing and this and that and the other. But a lot of places have this minhag that they only say Adam Zemiris and Shabbos, not on Yom Tov if it falls out during the week. Shmuel Kamenetsky is quoted over here, number 42. He says like this, in the Sefer Kovitz Halacha, that's written by Shmuel Kamenetsky's Talmud, Rabbi Kleinman from Brooklyn, he says, "V'yesh chalukim minhagim minyan amiris anam zemiris." A different minhagim about saying anam zemiris. Acharat tefilu mikol makom. This back to Shaila, we had this last week. Mi rasha misbal b'minyan shayim b'mayis. Let's say you daven in a shul that says anam zemiris, and you're not an anam zemiris guy. You went through the sugya and you felt that anam zemiris is so covered, so chashiv, you don't say it. Yesh loy lo amra imahem. Says Shmuel, quoting from Shmuel Kamenetsky, you should say it. Im ein minhag aloymer, even if your minhag is not to say it. Why? So on the footnote, number 43, Shmuel Kamenetsky explains. The afsha ha-minig shleil amru hu mitzad zihir shleil zalzaba. Tanya Shmuel Kamenetsky, a good point. Why should I have to say it? You know why I don't say it? Because I hold the anonymous in such a high level, I don't say it frequently. And now you're telling me I have to? Well, what's pshat? My not saying it is not because I'm against it. My not saying it is because I hold it in such a high level, I don't want to belittle it. And now you're asking me to say it? So Shmuel Kamenetsky said, "Very nice to go tell you, but you're wrong." Mikol makim im nizdamish and mispal b'makim sho'im imoyse vaday tzorich lo'im imohem. Why says Shmuel she'im yishtak or im yaziv havli zilzul tvei? Says Shmuel Kamenetsky, "What's your cheshbon? You don't want to be little Am Zemir, so what are you going to do? You're not. You said that's why you don't say it. So instead, you're going to walk out when everyone else says it. That's a bigger zilzul." Says Shmuel Kamenetsky, "That's a bigger zilzul not to do it. So good, on your own choice, don't say it. But if everyone else is saying it, he assumes for a davar parshat you have to say it." So we mentioned last week, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt said maybe you can fake it. Maybe you can make it look like you're saying it. But if you can't pull that off, so he also maybe agreed, like Rav Moshe held, that if everyone else is saying it, you too should say it. It's interesting.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear a little earlier. Did we come to the conclusion whether one says it b'yechidus or not?
The majority of the poskim held one should not say it b'yechidus. That's definitely the majority. I have not seen anyone who said clearly that you could, but we have from Rav Shechter based on Rabbi Soloveitchik, we have Rav Chaim Kinevsky, and we have based on the Shevet HaKasi, it seems like most of them held not to say Adam Zemiris b'yechidus. I don't know. That's a great question. I am with you. I think, based on what we learned, it makes sense to say it. But my shul has the same minute. They don't say it on Yom Tov, only on Shabbos. I don't get it. I guess it must be a Shabbos thing. It's interesting.
Is there any source to explain why we specifically sing Adam Zemiros? Or most shuls do?
The first two words when you give away.
Right.
You'll see among other shuls.
Correct. I just wonder if some shuls stop singing it because they felt it belittles it or gives off the wrong impression. But for some reason, I think it should be a song. It sounds like it is a song. Sheer sounds like a song. Yoitzis is a different conversation. Yoitzis, we have to have a different conversation. It's a different conversation. Right. Someone told me in MTJ, but Rav Moshe, they say Am Zemiris. They don't sing it, but they say Am Zemiris.
Right, Rebbe, interesting MTJ. That he says it, but he has usually, I shouldn't say always, is it a katan or a bar mitzvah kid who does psicha?
That's psicha. I guess that much he feels is comfortable to give to a child. That's
I'm
really...
I'm not so sure it's necessarily a child. Maybe it's a 15-year-old. It is. It's a young bar mitzvah.
So I heard a very cute story that there was a... a bungalow colony upstate where the, most of the people were from the Lower East Side, and they were fighting about whether or not they should say Anam Zemiris in the shul in the bungalow colony. So they brought the shout out to Reb David Feinstein. David Feinstein was had a pichas like unbelievable. So he said, "No, I don't think you should say Anam Zemiris. Why?" He said, "Because the room that you're davening in was not a very nice room. Punk, the room that they had in the bungalow colony for davening wasn't a very nice room." So Reb David Feinstein told him, he said, "Anam Zemiris is such a beautiful song, it should only be sung in a room that's also beautiful. And since you're using that makeshift room for davening, you shouldn't say Anam Zemiris." That's a real pichas. Right, I think what he was trying to get out of the tzibur was to find a better place to daven. That was a very pichasdik answer. That's a different shayla. But here he's trying to get at the notion of chashivas for Anam Zemiris. But let's just wrap up over here from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, "Heschilu b'Leil Yom Kippur b'Siyum Atfilah Loimer Shirei Yichud." Let's say Leil Yom Kippur is one of the nights we do say Shirei Yichud. Kishahoya asar v'achkach atzibur holchu. And now in the middle, halfway through, people leave. So can you finish it? So he answered yes. But that's pretty typical, because once you already started it, you may finish it. You might not be able to say the Kaddish afterwards, but the actual thing itself you can finish. Then number 45 is what the young Israel, I think I heard, started to do, is to say Anam Zemiris after Shachris as opposed to after Musaf. If you look over number 45, they say for She'ila Shleima. No, not for religious reasons. No, 100%. To me, that is a religious reason. That's the biggest covet for Anam Zemiris. So he writes over here,
"Get people quiet."
Well, no. If Anam Zemiris will be done more by Kovadik, it's worth it. That's what he writes over here. Since there's no doesn't say anywhere you have to do it dafka after musaf, you can switch it and say it after shachris, in order to bring a bigger kavod. I mentioned last week about Chanan Adler, was a rebbe in YU. So he wrote this whole sefer in Anam Zemiris. So he points out that he davens in a vesik and hashkama minyan in Pesach, and where he davens, it happens to be that a lot of hashkama minyans are always rushed because the next minyan is coming in. So he instituted in that minyan to say it after shachris because it gets more attention. He gets more chashivas. So again, I'm okay with that. I think whatever you could do to get Anam Zemiris to be more chashiv, I think is a worthwhile investment.
The guy comes late, he has Anam Zemiris.
He thinks it's already over, right? So they quote over here, Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes, "Yofa kosav, what you wrote to me is good, uminagin or an ar minag, shleilomir rak b'shabbos v'yomtif." So by the stipe, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the stipe of the minag was to say both on Shabbos and Yomtif. And then just to wrap up over here, minag tells, "Loi nogu loimer Anam Zemiris b'chol Shabbos Yomtif." It tells Yeshiva they did not say Anam Zemiris every single Shabbos Yomtif. Rak b'yom l'royim v'yishana rabba. They only said it on Yom l'royim and Yishana rabba. And even then, they only said it before davening. And that's very l'shitasai to old minag litta. We saw from the Aruch HaShulchan last week that the old minag litta was to say Anam Zemiris on Rosh Hashanah and Yishana rabba before Shachris. Right in the beginning of Shachris, before you start Pesukah Dezimra. Before Kabbalah, after you get to Baruch Shammah. So Bisikum, to wrap up the whole sugya, everyone should try to remember where they were, where they said, you know, what shul, what yeshiva you were in. When I was in yeshiva, we didn't say Anam Zemiris, except for Leil Yom Kippur. And on Leil Yom Kippur, only half the place stayed for Sheir HaYichud and Sheir HaKavod. Right, so on Yom Kippur night, some people say the whole Shere Yichud, which is really long, and some people say Shere Kavod. That's more accepted in the yeshivas. But I showed you Mishnah Berurah, where the Mishnah Berurah talks about saying Shere Yichud v'Shere Kavod every day, and I'm Tisha B'Av, and on other days, which I don't think any of us say. But it's something just to, now you're asking around people, well, what do? You say, I think most yeshivas don't say it. I think it's a chiddush that MTJ does say it. I believe in Lakewood, they say Amzimir's MTJ, yeah. Yeshiva does not. Yeah, most yeshivas don't. Lakewood does not. When I was in Shire Torah, we didn't. But you have to, it's something to ask around when you speak to people. Oh, by the way, do you, or you don't say Anam Zemiris? Definitely an interesting topic for conversation. Mr. Shem, next week we'll discuss Ashi Yotzar and its halachic